Should have noticed with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 by way of introduction here this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to just mention this verse in relation to our time here in this place, in the city of Crete. I was going over some things. I was reminded that September 11, 2016 was our first time coming here. It was 6 years ago. In reality, at that time, we were still grieving, having to leave our church family in Hawaii. And it's just interesting how, as we look back on some of these things, we were staying with our son and daughter-in-law, Ryan and Grace. We had no place to go, had no ministry to go to. And so we were staying with them in Scribner and driving down here. And this is one thing that I was reflecting on here this last week, here recently. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, I want you to notice here the emphasis on the word of God here this morning. And what I want to emphasize is the theme of the thought is profiting from the word of God. As we think about that, notice 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar passage, but I want you to see this. Again, these are thoughts I'm tying together here at the beginning. Profiting from Scripture, profiting from the Word of God. You know, it's one thing for us to hear sermons, to read the Bible, whatever. Are we profiting from it? That's what I want for us to understand. Notice for the context, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Obviously, through the Word of God, we have the profit of salvation here. But notice it says in verse 16 and 17 in particular, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Now, years ago, I heard a preacher emphasize this as far as verse 16. Notice the four things that are listed there. Scripture is given to us by God, by the inspiration of God. And notice, it is profitable. It is useful. It's for our good and our benefit. For four things. First of all, for doctrine. In particular, doctrine speaks of teaching. We need the teaching of God's Word. You know, that's why we had a former pastor who called himself a treacher. He was a preacher. He taught and he preached. Notice it says here, it's profitable, it's useful for doctrine. We need the teaching of the Word of God. But notice also for reproof. All right, so for doctrine tells us what is right. Notice for reproof tells us what's wrong, what's not right in our lives. You see, we need the Word of God just as much to tell us, here's something that's wrong in your life, it's not right, you need to get it corrected, you repent of that and deal with it. For reproof. For correction, the Bible also tells us how to get it right. And notice for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. So notice here again, this process of the Word of God being profitable or useful for us. It teaches us what is right. It tells us what is not right in our lives. It tells us how to get things right and how to stay right. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Again, it is profitable. It yields or brings profit or gain. As in a profitable study of the Word of God. Notice with me also 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice verses 13 through 16. Again, I understand this is written in particular to what we commonly refer to as a pastor. In reality, he was not a pastor. He was part of Paul's evangelistic team. But notice it says here in verse 13, "Till I come, give attendance," or pay attention to, "reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." All right, so let me ask you, how long has it been since you've read much of the Word of God, let alone a good book? Again, I tell you often, I don't read much of the modern stuff anymore. I go back to the older stuff before things started really changing in America. To exhortation, and notice to doctrine. Again, the emphasis on doctrine here, teaching of the Word of God. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy," notice, "profiting may appear to all," so that everyone can see the profiting that you've had, the changes that are taking place, the advantage you've had from the study of the Word of God. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine.
continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Again, there are some who say that that's salvation as far as salvation from hell, just from these things. The reality is that it's also a deliverance, that word save in the Bible. Now, there's an example I want to give you of this in Deuteronomy 17 in relation to the kings of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 17. I want you to think about the fact that there were certain things assigned to the kings of Israel to have written out as far as their own copy of the Word of God so that they could profit from it. And I want you to consider, for the most part, as you study the history of Israel, they did not practice this faithfully. So can we doubt then that, do we doubt any that Solomon ends up with 700 wives and 300 concubines? If he's not constantly reminding himself of what God said about Israel's king? Notice with me verses 14 and following. When thou art come into the land, unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. Notice, it has to be his choice. Whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Of course, America does this as well, supposedly. It doesn't always happen that way. We're seeing now in our modern day. But the president was supposed to be a natural-born citizen. It says, and he shall not multiply horses to himself. All right, Solomon, that's exactly what Solomon did. Nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that they should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. David even took multiple wives, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Solomon violated that. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. So in other words, he's to make a copy from the preserved scriptures of the Old Testament. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, and notice, to do them. It's not enough just to know them, we are to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Notice again several things here. First of all, he was to write a copy of the law in a book. Verse 18 says that. And again, as I've emphasized, this was not faithfully practiced, obviously, because we see many violations of the things that are mentioned in this passage. So he was to write a copy of the law in a book. And again, this was to be his first priority. So we are to have this copy. Notice, we're to have a copy of the Word of God that we are frequently looking at. We're frequently reading. Again, having a copy of the book. And let me just say this. I believe it's wise sometimes to write out scriptures that the Lord places and impresses on your heart. Write a copy of the law in a book. Also notice the copy was to be with him. Verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. It was to be his daily companion. It was to be with him. Let me ask you. How many times on the Lord's Day are you ready to rush out the door? Where's my Bible? Have you lost track of where your Bible is? Where is my Bible? We should not be asking that question because we know where it is if it's with us. The copy was to be with him. Let me ask you throughout the week, do you keep scriptures with you? Practical way of doing that is you have a New Testament with you. You have a spare moment, on break, whatever. Spend time reading in a New Testament. Also, another way I've seen this done is 3x5 cards in a pocket. You pull out a verse and you read it for a little while. But again, it's to be with us. Not only that, but it should be with us in our hearts. Not just, oh, I got to read my 10-minute assignment here this morning. It's to be with us all the days of our lives. And notice it says again, that daily. that he shall be all the days of his life on a daily basis. How many days go by without you taking a look, hearing something from the Word of God, or reading something from the Word of God? Are there days that go by that you don't get something from God's Word? And let me just say this, you need to read it, not as an assignment, but read it until you find something that you can take with you for that day. Read therein all the days of his life. That's what the king was supposed to do. Notice the reasons for this, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Oh, there's the reason why America's in trouble today. We have lost our fear of God because nobody knows what this book says anymore. In fact, it's very interesting. I've told you this before. What is it, Deuteronomy 28? I don't remember which chapter it is that talks about all the curses. Our president used to swear on a Bible open to that passage in Deuteronomy. I have a feeling most presidents don't even know what Deuteronomy says anymore. So that they learn to fear God. Notice me, Isaiah 66. Isaiah chapter 66. If we would spend time reading the Bible as a nation, we would have a greater fear of God. And we would not have so much wickedness in our land today. Isaiah 66, notice verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Whenever I really stop and think about that, it's like God sits on his throne, stretches out his feet, and he puts his feet on earth as his footstool. That's what we live on, is God's footstool. Well, that should get our attention. The earth is his footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Can I remind you that this is after the first temple had been built? Where is this house that you build unto me? Notice verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made. He has a creative right to everything. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. And notice this statement. And trembleth at my word. This is the problem. This is one of the, I've told you this before, but this is one of the problems with the modern Bibles that supposedly have all kinds of errors in them. They have all kinds of changes. Things that, can I give you a profound truth? Things that are different are not the same. If things don't read the same as the King James Bible, they're not the same. Here's the problem with teaching people that there's problems in your Bible. This word is better translated. This is a poor translation of this word. The problem with that is you stop trembling at God's word. In fact, I don't remember if it was Mark Twain or who it was. It doesn't matter. He says, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that bother me. It's the things that I do understand in the Bible. Think about this. When you read the Bible for what it says, in fact, you read some of the prophets. Woe is America. Because God's going to judge our nation the same as he did Judah. For the same things. Notice that they may learn to fear the Lord his God. And to keep all the words and to do them. Notice with me Leviticus 19. I've mentioned this before. So I did a little bit of a survey study of this. I'm not going to point out all of them because there's too many. But this phrase that's often repeated in the Bible or very close to it, observe to do. Observe to do. I challenge you to do a study of that sometime. Observe to do. So in other words, we observe what the Bible says so that I can do it. I can put it to practice. Here's one of the references. Leviticus 19, verse 37. Therefore, shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and, notice, do them. Observe and do them. I am the Lord. Deuteronomy has several. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to show you just a quick survey of these. Again, how many times God emphasizes observe to do. So we are to pay attention to what the Bible says so that I can do it, put it to practice in my life. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you for to do them. Notice, hearken and do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. That sounds very much like Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Woe unto them who take away from God's words or add to God's words. Notice again, he says, do not add or take away, diminish aught from them. Also, chapter 5, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Again, it's very interesting how many times God told Israel, observe to do. Verse 29, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Notice, we're not to pick and choose which ones we want to obey. Obviously, the New Testament commands in particular apply to us. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again, but as for thee, talking to Moses here, but as for thee, stand out here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them. Notice, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do. There's that statement. Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Notice that. Not to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. One of the things I will emphasize with this, God blesses obedience. You want God's blessing? You better obey then. God does not randomly hand out blessings. He blesses obedience. Observe to do. Chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it. Notice that statement. Observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Talk about them to our children, to our families. Talk about them throughout the day. Observe to do. Verse 24 and 25 then. And the Lord, commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Notice, obedience is for our good. God does not just hand, I want you to be miserable, so I want to give you all these commandments. He does it for our protection, for our good, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments for the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Actually, verse 32 of chapter 11 carries us into this chapter. Verse 32, and ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Observe to do. Chapter 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest, observe to do, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Observe to do. Verse 30, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, talking about the religions of Canaan, after that they be destroyed from before thee, that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Using the world's worship is not what honors and pleases God. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Notice Joshua chapter 1. Joshua got the message very clearly with this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Again, I understand this is for Israel. There's an application for us observing what the Bible says and doing it in our lives. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest, notice again, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now it's very interesting. One of the statements made back in Deuteronomy 17 as far as the king, that he turned not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. I use this, that's one of the bases of my statements. You know, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. All right, we're not turned from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. Now, in many cases, we understand the right to represent legalism, to the left, liberalism. So as an example in Scripture, we see the example of the right hand, the Pharisees, who had self-righteous pride. The left hand, we see the Sadducees, who do not believe anything as far as supernatural regarding the Word of God. It's very interesting. Hosea 8, verse 12 says, I have written to him, speaking of Ephraim, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. All right, so he gave Ephraim, gave Israel his law, but they considered or they counted it as a strange thing. Now, one of the other things that Deuteronomy mentioned as far as the king was that his heart was not to be lifted up above his brethren. Notice he was to have humility and not pride toward those he ruled and reigned over. Now, it's very interesting as you think about that application or that illustration of the king. He was supposed to know God's word, God's law, so that he could put it to practice as he served as king. Now, I'm going to borrow this statement from an old book. I don't remember what year frame it was written, but this book said this: ignorance of the scripture is the mother of error. Ignorance of scripture is the mother of error. There are all kinds of errors coming into modern day Christianity because we're ignorant of what the Bible says. And that's exactly what Jesus said to the Sadducees. Ye do err not knowing the scriptures. Well, that sounds good because we hear a preacher use scripture. If we're going to profit from the word of God, we must understand what the Bible says. I'm going to give you an example of Acts chapter 18 and the example of Apollos. There are statements that this passage emphasizes or makes regarding Apollos that I've often prayed for myself. I want you to notice here the example of Apollos, Acts chapter 18. While you're turning there, 1 Timothy 4:6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Are we profiting from the word of God because we read it as it is indeed the word of God? Notice Acts 18, verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, and just pause there just for a moment. Alexandria is filled with all kinds of Greek philosophy. And there was often a blending of Greek philosophy and Judaism, and sometimes even Christianity in Alexandria would have some of that as well. In fact, a lot of the modern Bibles come from manuscripts out of Alexandria, Egypt. Okay, so that should tell you something. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. I've noticed how he's described here in the Word of God. He's an eloquent man. Now, this does not necessarily mean that he's an orator, because the Bible uses the word orator elsewhere in the book of Acts. An eloquent man is one who's able to clearly present truth, clearly present what he believes. So he was an eloquent man. And notice, mighty in the scriptures, obviously the Old Testament scriptures. He knew what the Old Testament scriptures said. Notice he came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. So he was instructed. He had learned some things regarding the way of the Lord. and being fervent in the spirit. That's why I can't handle somebody who seems bored of teaching the Bible. I've seen people stand up and teach the Word of God, and it's like they sound bored themselves. I hope you see that I have a fervency and an excitement of what I'm preaching. I spend hours working on these things. There's a fervency that builds up in my heart. I can't wait to preach it. Notice, he's fervent in the Spirit, and he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Again, a teacher that stands up and says, I don't think you really want to hear this truth, but I'm going to give it anyway. No. It's like fervency, diligence in the teaching of the things of the Lord. And notice, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, so there was a boldness when he spoke, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, I want to summarize that statement that he was teachable. First of all, you notice that unless it's an outright doctrinal error, apologists didn't know the whole story. He was not teaching error. There's a difference. Notice they did not interrupt him as he was teaching. I think it's very important to notice that. They did not interrupt him when he was teaching. I'm thankful that we did not have preaching class and the professor sits in the back and says, you need to work on that mannerism that you have there. It's like, you want me to preach or not? No, what our preaching teacher did was he videotaped us, and as he's watching it, he'll just kind of give us some recorded statements as to what we can work on. It was very interesting watching my first preaching video in homiletics class, preaching class. It's like, wow. Like I said, he didn't interrupt us publicly. They did not interrupt him publicly. But notice also, though, that Apollos says, no, I don't think you're right. I don't think you're right. No, Apollos listened. He did not know the whole story. And it says here, they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when it's disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much, which he had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Notice he's teaching, and verse 25 tells us he knew only the baptism of John. So he didn't know the rest of the story. He was telling the truth up to that point, but he needed the rest of the story, the full understanding of what Jesus Christ came and fulfilled. But again, Apollos was teachable, and notice because of that, he was mightily able to convince the Jews publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, let me give you a contrast, though, with this. So we're talking about profiting from the Word of God. How can the Word of God be profitable in our lives? So you think about this. We will not have profit from the Word of God, first of all, if we despise God's Word. Proverbs 13:13 says this. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. That's a strong word. Whoever despises the word of God shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Now let me ask you. 6 years now. Have I ever preached something in this building right here that I've not taken you to many scriptures? I do not know of one thing that I've ever preached here or taught here. Well, here's this one verse. I can't find anything else to support it, but I'm going to show you what I believe about this. That's like the Mormons taking the one verse, baptizing for the dead, and making a doctrine out of it. Is there anything? I just listened to 1 Samuel a little bit yesterday, and Samuel stood up and he said to Israel, if I've taken anything, if I've done all, come now, publicly, confront me, and I'll make it right. So I'm asking, is there anything in the last 6 years that I've preached contrary to this book right here? Here's why I'm emphasizing that. If that's the case, nobody said, oh, preacher, remember on such and such date, I've got the recorded message, it's online, go ahead and listen to it. Here's my point. If it's from the Word of God, and someone says, I do not agree with that, you are despising the words of God. That is a serious offense, and that will keep you from getting something from God. Here's how it's illustrated sometimes. I've heard this over the years. So you hear the message in the church house, and then all the way home, the dad says, you don't need to listen. You can forget that sermon today because I don't agree with it. Oh, Dad, wow, you disagree with that. We don't believe that in our house. I've not been convicted about that yet, so you don't need to listen to that message. You can forget it. What does that do to that child? Well, if Dad doesn't agree with that message, I wonder what else he doesn't agree with. Here's my point. If it's the Word of God, then we better be convicted about it. Despising God's Word. Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. I wonder how many children have been destroyed because their father undermines the preaching of God's Word. Again, Isaiah 66 verse 2 talks about trembling at God's Word. It must be Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. As a preacher, I take very seriously making sure we compare Scripture with Scripture to show you what God says about a matter. Notice Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Hating knowledge. A fool hates knowledge. Again, would Apollos ever been used greatly? Would he ever have been used greatly if he says, no, I disagree with that. I'm going to continue preaching the baptism of John. Well, Apollos, you don't have the whole story. No. That's it. I don't want to hear any more about it. He would not have been used greatly by God. He would have hated knowledge, increased understanding. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. We saw that word in 2 Peter 3. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused. Notice, despising of the word of God, the wisdom of God. Because ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Notice, they have set at naught. They've despised the counsel of the word of God, the wisdom of God. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised, notice the word, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Again, here's the message. Here's the message. If we at some point say, well, I don't agree with that, and it's from the Word of God, we have despised the Word of God and we will not profit from His truth. Notice with me, 2 Samuel 12. I want to show you that it's not just unbelievers that can despise the Word of God. 2 Samuel 12, notice verse 1. Actually, for the sake of time, let's jump in here, verse 7. This is after Nathan tells David a story to begin presenting the message that God had for David after committing sin with Bathsheba and making sure her husband was murdered. Nathan, verse 7, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. I've already said this before, but I don't think
thou art the man.
I don't think that's how Nathan is confronting David. In fact, after he told the story, there was such a reaction in David, I think all he has to do is say, thou art the man. The Holy Spirit, the still small voice of the Lord, convicting work of the Spirit of God was going to be enough for David. Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore, notice this, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Notice, he's despised the commandment of the Lord. Here's a man after God's own heart. And he despised three of God's commandments. He coveted a man's wife. He committed adultery and he killed a man. Think about that. A man after God's own heart was able to despise the commands of God, the word of God. 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. Another example of despising. 2 Chronicles 36. Verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, messengers plural, more than one prophet of God, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Notice, out of compassion he sent preachers to them, prophets of God. But they mocked the messengers of God. Notice again, plural. And despised his words. Notice that, messengers, plural, but they despised his words, God's words. And notice, misused his prophets, till the wrath of the Lord arose against the people, till there was no remedy. It was beyond God salvaging that nation. He says, all right, judgment comes. All from despising the word of God. Notice that, Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44, verse 15. All right, men. Here's a challenge for us to make sure our houses are not allowing false things in. Verse 15. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods. Think about that statement, men. All right, so what do we allow on our televisions? What kind of music do we allow in our homes? You know it and do nothing. God's going to bring you to account for it. They knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods. And all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, and we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and well and salt and evil. Yeah, when we were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, we had all kinds of things, good things going on in our nation. We had plenty to eat. Now we don't have, so we're going back. We don't care what you say, Jeremiah. We're going back. They despised the word of the Lord, also being offended by the truth. Notice Matthew chapter 13. Despising God's word, also being offended by the truth of God's word. Matthew 13, verse 53. Show you this illustration. Matthew 13, verse 53. It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? And is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? Notice this statement of verse 57. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And notice he was limited to what he could do there. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. It says they were offended in him. This is the Greek word that we get our English word scandal or scandalized from. Think about that. Because of what Jesus was teaching them in his hometown, they were scandalized because they did not agree with what he said. Here's Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of offended. To disturb, annoy, or cause to fall or stumble. To displease, make angry, or affront. I wanted to make sure I remembered what the word affront means. And it means to encounter face to face. So here's the idea with this. They're confronting, they're affronting Jesus face to face. They've been scandalized because of the things he was teaching. And then he goes on to say, Webster's 1828 goes on to say, to be scandalized, to be stumbled. With Jesus teaching the truth, would Jesus ever teach error? So here's the sinless Son of God who cannot teach error. And it says they were offended at him, they were scandalized, and they were stumbled. Can I point out something here? We will not profit from the Word of God if we are scandalized by what we hear. Think about that. That is why a lot of preachers will not preach. I say this over and over again. I believe this more and more as the years go by. I know this. Most preachers will not preach through books of the Bible because they might have to teach on something that they'll lose some people over. Well, can I point out? They're afraid of scandalizing someone. If they're offended by the truth, then there's a heart problem that needs to be dealt with. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29 says that Jesus taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, as the religious leaders of his day. That's Matthew chapter 11. Here's John wanting to know, just a confirmation. He's sitting in jail. And so Jesus gives some evidence for the messengers to take back to John the Baptist as he's sitting in jail facing execution. Matthew 11, verse 6. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Also, Matthew 15, verse 10. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. He called the multitude and he said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? They were scandalized after they heard this saying. And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. The blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? Jesus wasn't afraid of offending somebody with the truth. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Here's Jesus before his arrest, Matthew 26, 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Obviously, he understood that they would be restored. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended or scandalized because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Yes, they were offended for a short time. John chapter 6, this is a powerful illustration. John chapter 6. I don't know how many times I've had over the years somebody walk out the church because something I preached. John chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Notice, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Notice verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and they walked no more with him. If you want to write down references, 1 John 2:19, right there. They went out from us because they were not of us. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe. Judas is included in the 12 at this point. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Why did they leave? They were offended. They were offended at the truth he was proclaiming. Let me just emphasize this as we tie all this together. We will not profit from the word of God if we despise God's truth and are offended by the truth. I just want to read for you Galatians chapter 4, verse 11 and following, as Paul is emphasizing some things with the Galatian churches that were turning away from the truth. Galatians 4, verse 11, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation or trial, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record, that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth? I don't know. I don't think I've going to have any enemies because of the preaching of the Word of God here. But yet there are times I've seen over the years when somebody who I thought, I was totally shocked. Here's the example that comes to my mind. A man who's a retired Baptist pastor. Older man and his wife. I thought they were one of our strongest supporters in that ministry. Well, because one of their friends in the church was offended when I said we were not going to promote the cancer, I don't remember what the cancer organization was, because they promoted abortion. I said publicly in the church, as pastor, I cannot in good conscience allow that to be promoted in the church. Just like that, they had all kinds of reasons they needed to leave. My heart broke over that. He was scandalized because someone else was scandalized. All it takes is for somebody to start despising what this book says. And you could be out just like that. David, a man after God's own heart. God himself, through Nathan, said, "You have despised the commands of God." Well, I've not been convicted about that yet, preacher. I say that so often. But I've heard it so often. I don't feel that way. Did you just hear the message of God from the Word of God? I'm just finishing up here. There was a couple that was visiting a church I was interim pastor at in Sioux City. And I exposed the truth about the error of Billy Graham. So they were back visiting. They're out of state, totally out of state when they visited. They came back a month later or so. And she cornered me and she let me have it. It's like, "You shouldn't be doing that." I just told her, I said, "I'm not judging Billy Graham." I pointed my Bible up in the pulpit. I said, "That book is judging Billy Graham. I just told you what he said. And we checked it from the Word of God. I am not judging anyone. This book judges." Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us. To have a spirit and a heart like Apollos, where he wanted to understand thy truth and was teachable. He wanted to understand your way more perfectly. Lord, I pray that if somebody here today does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, first and foremost, they're despising your truth regarding the gospel. The gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're going to be saved by their baptism. They're going to be saved, whatever, doing their good works. Lord, as they despise thy truth regarding salvation, they're going to be destroyed forever in hell, in a lake of fire. Lord, is there anyone here today that does not know Christ alone for salvation? I pray today would be the day of salvation. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us to guard our hearts, to never get to a point where we have a spirit of despising thy truth because it's something we don't necessarily agree with. Lord, help us to be teachable, I pray, so we can profit from thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.